Hello, amazing parents and caretakers, and welcome to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. I'm your family empowerment coach, Celia Kibler. I'm a mom of a blended family of five kids. I'm a grandma of nine kids, an author, a teacher, a speaker, and a consultant with over 40 years of training and real-life parenting experience. I'm here to offer you practical, doable tips, strategies, and techniques that will pump up your parenting skills and create peace, love, and laughter throughout your family. In addition, I'll be interviewing some great humans that are on a mission to make your life a better, happier, and healthier life. So let's not waste any time and get started with the next episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Thanks for listening. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. I am thrilled to have my guest with me today, Marcy Meltzer. Not only is she just a blast and a whole lot of fun, and not only are we born of similar lives and we're like carbon copies of each other kind of, but she is here to help you with all the language development needs of your child. And being a child who didn't start talking until I was 3 years old, and you see I came out okay, and as all my family says, she hasn't stopped talking since, kind of true. She has so much wisdom to share with you. So let me tell you who she is before I bring her to the stage. Marcy is an intuitive speech language pathologist and language facilitation consultant who has been working in the field for 3 decades. As a speech therapist, Marcy found the healthcare and school systems to be increasingly disempowering, which I agree, for both herself and her clients. She has now established herself as an online global influencer and resource, helping parents teach their children to talk themselves through her Waves of Communication platform. Marcy has authored a book, If It Isn't Fun, It Isn't Fun. Teach Your Child to Talk Faster Than Speech Therapy. And I love the title because I'm all about fun. Marcy, welcome to Pumped Up Parenting.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to talk to your audience.
Yeah. I am too. So what made you switch from being a therapist to just going into family coaching?
Okay, well, that's a great question because I got into speech therapy because I wanted to help families, right? I wanted to help people communicate better and be successful through their effective communication. That's the whole reason I became a speech therapist and or went to speech pathology school and all of that stuff. And for, you know, increasingly, especially over the past 2 decades, it has really moved more towards systemically be a money trail that diagnoses are being given because services are only paid for if kids have diagnoses. And so as a clinician, I was always having to be on the awareness of what's the latest diagnosis we're supposed to be giving kids or what should we be writing on these forms, because every place I worked, I was a contract speech therapist for most of my time. And every year I'd show up at a new school or facility or something like that, and they would have rules for how they do things at their school. And it became increasingly funneling these kids into autism diagnosis because yes, autism was the cash register. That yeah, was the only thing that was getting the money to pay for therapy. So even therapists that didn't believe kids were autistic, and even parents who don't believe their kids are autistic, are getting the diagnosis anyway, because the therapist says, well, if you want your insurance to pay, this is the paper trail we've got to create. And that's, I found myself spending more time collecting data and creating paper trails than I was actually working with and helping people. And so when the last government program that I contracted for said, you have to funnel every kid who shows red flag behaviors into a specific autism diagnosis, I quit. because before that I was trying to work the system and I would just kind of say, yeah, it was happening and I'd do my own thing anyway, you know? But I got to the point where I couldn't do my own thing anymore. And I said, I got to find a new way to do this because the parents I was working with were seeing a ton of improvement because I was really shifting away from doing the therapy into the coaching and solving parents' problems. So it made sense for me to go find the parents who really want coaching and help them. And then it was win-win. I got people who work with me. They make progress. I see them making progress and everybody's doing great with it. So
yes, I love that because I think in this world, we're just labeling children too much. Everybody is on the spectrum somehow. And I look at them and I've worked with special needs community for 40 years. And I'll look at these children. I'll be like, these are not children on the spectrum. I've worked with them. I've seen them. This is not one of them yet. They're labeled. Half the time, teachers don't want to teach them. They want to find a reason. They want to drug them. They want to do whatever. It's so frustrating. So I feel you. You know, I it's so nice to actually just work with parents in a realistic form to help them realistically to solve their problems. What we want the world to believe.
Right. And I'm helping them navigate. Yeah, I'm helping them navigate those systems because I've literally worked in schools, hospitals, all different kinds of places over 30 years, a lot of different contract placements. So I know how things work out in the speech world and the education world too, because I contracted a lot of schools. So parents now are using my coaching services in addition to teaching their kids to talk to kind of help as advocacy for themselves so that they're getting their kids into classrooms that they are better suited for teaching their needs, you know?
Exactly. So let's talk about everybody that you're a mommy and tell everybody about your children because, you know, we're all mommies out here or daddy.
I am a mommy. My kids are 23 and 26 this year. My oldest is actually a speech pathologist. She started in the field being a speech therapist when I was leaving the field, which is kind of interesting because I'm not a therapist anymore. I just work with parents only, but my daughter's approach to speech therapy is definitely different because she was like your grandkids. You and I talked about before when you were on my podcast about how your grandkids came along to work with you. My daughter was always schlepping with me to therapy sessions and joining me at all different kinds of places because I worked in nursing homes with adults and kids all through the years. And so she learned to love speech therapy in her own way just by watching me and taking my models. And then when she went to school, now she kind of does it in a hybrid version. So wonderful. I like to think I contributed to that. And my other daughter lives here in Florida. My one daughter's in Chicago and my other daughter's here in Florida. And she just married her wife last year. And so that's going to be great.
New family.
I know, no grandkids yet, but I know that that's in my future for both of my kids.
Good. Because that's important. The grandkids, grandbabies. That's super important. So let's talk a little bit about late talking. I didn't talk till I was three. It really came to be that I had two older sisters, a mother and a father. And the doctor finally said, you never give her the opportunity to talk. It wasn't that I didn't know how to talk. I didn't need to talk. I would just point and someone would get it for me. And as soon as they actually insisted that I say things, I spoke. But a lot of kids, I get a lot of parents that will say, you know, my child is 2 years old. My child is 18 months. My child is 24 months. My child is all of this. 24 is 2 years old. Yeah. 3 years old, not talking. You know, should I be concerned? Should I get help? And I will ask direct questions. My first question is always, do you read to your child? That is always my first question. And very often the answer is no, but reading is very important. But what I would like you to tell somebody is when should they be concerned? What do you consider the age of concern that a child is not talking?
Okay, so instead of age, I'm going to kind of buy out of that question a little bit because just like you talk about, it's never too late to establish a connection and reestablish, you know, a new plan to move your life forward. It is never too late to teach your child to use natural spoken language. Okay. So the process as parents move through it always happens later for some kids than it does for other kids, just like it happened late for you, Celia. And here's why, because there's one or more of three different areas that could be affecting the natural speech that always develops. Like your siblings learned, right? From your same parents, your siblings learned to talk, but somehow you also learned, but you didn't talk. So maybe there was no physiological blockage. There was never anything wrong with you. However, that is one reason that kids are late talking. Maybe they're premature. Maybe they have ear infections. Maybe they have other injuries or illnesses that cause them to be in the hospital for a real long time. You know what I mean? So those kids are going to miss exposure to language. And what I love, and you talked about in your book, even in my book, I have a similar chapter that is called the gateways to spoken language. And when these gateways are not met, then the language doesn't develop. And so it might be a physiological thing that blocks it, but it could be an environmental thing that blocks it, which is what happened in your case. So like you always said, and you said before, kids need to hear their parents talking and reading. And that's why reading to your kid will give them exposure to your voice. Even if you're not talking to them, you're just reading a story. The brain, there's lots of research all over that has shown that just a baby listening to their mom talking helps their brain develop. And environmentally, they might not have been hearing. Now, in your case, you heard a lot of people talking to you, but you were choosing not to use it because environmentally, there was a blockage. Your sisters or mom or everybody was talking for you. So that's two examples of an environmental blockage. Now, there's also this emotional blockage that happens that stops the process. And remember, blocks those gateways to spoken language. So the first gateway you talked about is kids need to hear their parents talking. So emotional things will stop kids from wanting to listen to their parents. So if someone's yelling at you all the time, you don't want to listen to them. If someone is making you do things, you don't want to listen to them. If people are not listening to you and responding to you when you talk, they're not going to want to listen to you. And remember, the only thing that really is necessary for these kids to learn spoken language is good listening to their parents talking. So if one of those three areas, physical, environmental, or emotional, is in the way of a parent talking to their kiddo, then the child is going to be late talking. And no matter what age the child is, because I've got parents in my program who've got 18-month-olds, and I've got parents who've got 18-year-olds, and both of them, when they uncover those physical, environmental, and emotional blockages, are seeing more natural spoken language coming out of their kid spontaneously.
Yes, yes. That such good advice and such great clarification. I thank you for that. So let me ask you, can you actually, while we're on this topic, suggest some specific strategies that you can give to parents? You know, I mentioned reading, and in your podcast, we talked about, you know, that everything is an education. You can do, you know, point out things to talk about in your daily life 24 hours a day, well, except when you're sleeping. But are there specific strategies you recommend for a parent to take to keep encouraging language?
Yes, and especially if your child is a late talker, because what happens is when kids get to be late talking after three, let's say, is a real late. Like if they're not talking by three, parents are already starting to go get it. I mean, they're getting diagnoses earlier. So the first thing is, no matter what age your child is, if they're 18 months, the American Speech and Hearing Association expects kids to start saying words by 2 years old every day, new words coming all the time, starting to combine words. So if they're not getting a lot of new speech by their two-year-old checkup at the doctor, then it's real likely that somebody's going to suggest that something might be stopping the process, right? And in fact, it could be that one of those three areas that I talked about was blocking the process. So the concern is real. Okay, if your child isn't continually developing their own spoken language to let you know what they want and tell you about what they're doing and, you know, saying stuff like mommy come, you know, no cookie, you know, that kind of stuff. If they're not always piping up with new things all the time, then something is blocking the process. And some parents ignore the fact that their kids aren't talking. Right? They just notice it later when they test them. He's not asking me, or that when the doctor says something, they might even realize their kids are late talking because they are stuck in an environmental situation where they're just guessing everything their kid wants and their kid doesn't have to talk. So they're relying on their parents and all of those things are going on, right? But parents get so worried, and especially with all this diagnosis stuff going on, they stick them in these therapies really young, really, really early, where somebody is either trying to manipulate their kid and pull words out and tell them, because I used to be that therapy. I used to be that one who showed up with my bag of toys trying to pull words out of kids. And I knew in so many cases when I left, that kid wasn't going to talk to anybody.
Right.
Because right. That mom's not doing me, you know, and if they are trying to be a therapist, it doesn't work because kids know what they intuitively already know that their parents are guessing everything they want.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, one thing I love about your book is you talk about how it has to be fun. My kids fitness company is called Fun Fit. Fun is my first syllable. You know, everything I teach parents, I have all these fun games on the Pumped Up Parenting Facebook group that, you know, to help you do chores, plan meals, you know, sleep, do all these things. The listening game, which is a great game to teach you and your children to listen, because when you listen, you're a good communicator. Yes. And I would love to for you to share some examples of how you make your coaching different, because your coaching is actually fun. And that's what I love, because fun people. Yep. I love fun people.
Fun. So, right. And so the thing is, there's two ways to have fun, right? Number one, you can have fun by just doing silly things, jumping around, dancing, and all of that stuff. But it is also really fun to solve problems and overcome challenges, right? Like if a kiddo wants to learn to ride a bike, that's something fun that they want to work at, right? But if the same mom knew that her kiddo wanted to ride a bike, but she was having them walk instead or ride a scooter or some other kind of thing, the child wouldn't be completely 100% motivated and digging in. They might like it, or they might grow to like it, because scooters are fun too. But if that child really wanted a bike and they didn't get that bike, and somebody just gave them some replacement thing, again, they would be okay, but they wouldn't really love it, right? So what I do is I have parents figure out the first thing before you try to do in anything, you have to figure out what your child loves. And that's the strategy I called when you see something, say something, because this is how you test if you're right. Instead of asking your kiddo questions, which most people do, you test it by doing the same thing that they're doing. So let's say you've got a real active toddler who doesn't want to stop running, right? And in your house, they're running and bouncing off walls and you can't stop them from running. What I suggest you do is you have to kind of get in their head. And you have to figure out, why are they running? Why are they running there? Why are they running on that surface? Why are they always punching that pillow? Why are they doing what they're doing? Because remember, you're already guessing. You're in your head, kid's head all the time anyway. But I'm teaching you how to use your intuition, what a mom knows about her kiddo, and dig in there and see, why is he doing that? Why did he make that face? Oh, because he did not like the broccoli I gave him. So what you do is you say, oh, you do not like broccoli mommy gave you. You think broccoli tastes yucky. And the kid's so empowered by the mom saying, instead of saying, taking away the broccoli and trying to give them what they want or solving that problem, because, you know, if a kid doesn't like the food, the parent's constantly thinking, what else, what else, what else? But they don't talk about the problem. And the problem is, I don't like broccoli and I don't like it when you give it to me and I think it tastes like dirt.
I love that, because I always impress upon parents to start seeing the world through their children's eyes. See, understand what they're doing. You know, it's like I talk about, set up your house for success. If there's a crystal ball that you don't want broken, the ideal place for it would not be on your end table where a toddler is going to grab it, because it is sparkly and smooth and maybe it smells good or tastes good and they're going to lick it. And because they're a toddler, they've never seen that before and they want to know what it's all about. Start seeing your world through their eyes. There is so much to be understood, so much to be communicated. You know, my son, who I talk about often with his gaming, I didn't poo-poo his gaming. I didn't, now my children are going to make fun of me because I said poo-poo. But I didn't look at that and go, oh, gaming is terrible for you. You shouldn't do gaming. Oh, I went in there and I was like, what do you like about this game? Teach me how to play. I became interested in his world. And I just love that that's part of your methods, because yay, it should be. I'm giving you a round of applause.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter what your child finds fun. You have to figure it out. Because if they think fun is flapping a cord around or lining things up or sorting things out, like I've got one kiddo in my program, he's kind of driving his mom crazy because she's having a hard time embracing it. This little guy started watching rhymes. He's a late talker. He's not talking yet, and he's five, okay? He's not talking yet. And they just started working with me, but he's a genius. I think he's not talking because he's a genius, okay? This kid knows the alphabet A to Z, and his favorite hobby, his favorite game to play is to identify and line up objects. A is for alligator, B is for, he'll find R is for remote.
Wow.
B is for duck, and he'll go find a duck, and he'll go find things. Or he'll have his mom Google pictures to see what they are. So he says these single words periodically to label the things that he likes, and he's doing these A to Z every single time, perfectly A to Z with different letters, and then he'll do A to Z in black and white, A to Z in rainbow, and then it has little Roy G. Biv. Okay, this is how smart this five-year-old kid is, that he's using an analytical mind to look into his play. And at school, everybody's having him do preschool stuff because he's not talking. He's at that's black truck, you know, and he's good at black truck, yellow dinosaur, you know, whatever, that single word business. And so he's had so much of that he doesn't know how to use any of this language. So now his mom is literally telling a story about every one of those. A is for alligator. Alligators live in Florida. Alligators go snap, snap, snap. And so each thing she talks about in his row is offering her another opportunity to put language into his brain. And that's what language facilitation is all about. It's not about pulling words out. That's what I did in therapy. That's what therapists do. Therapists pull words out. Moms, language facilitators, put all the language in to teach your kid how to answer all those questions. Because like you said, everybody else is going to test your kid. They're going to push them. They're going to test them. The doctor's going to test them. The school's going to test them. The daycare is going to test them. They're all going to be judging to see what they are. If you want your child to pass those tests, it's up to you to give them the information they need. Right. And if you're being like those therapists and pulling, then nobody is teaching your child the words they need.
Exactly. So, and there's so much to teach them. You know,
so much.
grocery store, walk around, take them with you whenever you can. You go to the park. We were talking on your podcast, Marcy, about scavenger hunts.
Yes.
Create a scavenger hunt, find a leaf, find the sky, find the cloud, find a hole in the tree, find a bug, find a worm, find it, whatever. And find them and talk about them and say, what is this dry leaf? What can you do with it? Can you crush it? Is it, what's it doing? What about this guy? Look at this little ant crawling on your hand. You know what? Talk.
Right. And I love also what you said, these multimodal learning. So move and talk, right? Because in the brain, what's helping your kids' language processing system develop is its neuroplasticity, right? Those auditory and language processing systems aren't developed yet because your kiddo's not a good listener, right? And you're teaching them to be a good listener with language facilitation by talking about stuff that's totally interesting, giving them little challenges to solve that they like let's find things, and then letting them walk while they do it and run and grab and use all their feels, their senses about it. This is what will teach your kid to talk. You don't need to do repetitive stuff over and over and over again, because when you're in functional mode, when you're out on the street, or even what watching you do what you do, just talk about what you do. I'm cooking vegetable curry. I'm chopping the onions. Ooh, this curry tastes delicious. You know, why do kids watch videos? Because people are expressive and they talk about what they are doing. And that's putting language into your child's brain by watching those things. So if your child loves watching videos of people cooking where they're talking about things, you might use that as inspiration for how you talk to your child. Okay.
Yeah. Find their interests, watch them, tune in. You know, that I always talk about the child brain. It is not a fully developed brain. It's your job as a parent to start making those connections, to feed in all of the parts of the brain that they need to develop, that right. They are not born with. They are not adults. Don't expect them to respond like an adult. It's right. Your job to start planting those things in their brain.
And but you still have to talk to them like they're going to be an adult. You know, you use child appropriate language, but always complete sentences. Because remember, if you want your child to speak in complete sentences with grammatical correct everything, they have to hear those language models. Right. And the cow says blank, and you know, old McDonald had a blank, or let's sing the same song over and over and over again, is not helping your kiddo's brain develop all the vocabulary. Where literally you can teach a million new words at the grocery store, you know, but you hear the same 10 over and over again in old McDonald had a farm. You know, so this is when, and then if you want to really, you know, if your kiddo is stuck on that, like that's all your kid wants, because like I said, we're following the kid's lead. And if all they want is rhymes and the same old ABC stuff over and over again, you have to find a bridge. You have to find a bridge between that love, just like this mom did in my program, where she doesn't like the ABC game and she hopes her child will give it up. And he will. He will, when she shows him how to expand it, because right. All he knows exactly. Is the lineup and label part, because he's real good at that. And he can get an A every time. He can get a good job. You did it. But if he starts to do things where people say, no, that's not it. That's not behavior we want. No. Anytime kids hear no, it shuts down their listening. That's why that idea of creating an environment, a yes environment, where yes. Kids are welcome to explore what's in their world. And if they explore in the wrong way, right there when they're doing it, you can say, oops, that's a do not touch thing. I better put that away. And tell your child why. Tell them right there and then, this is a glass thing. It's very fragile. I don't want it to break. You know, go into the detail. Just because your child is not talking yet, you could be like Celia, who didn't talk till she was 3, but understood everything that everyone was saying. Assume your child is growing into an adult. Assume they are wanting to develop independence, because they are. And exactly. The more you keep them stuck in their same boring stuff, they will rebel, because they want to be adults and grow up and be independent. And they'll go and do it with you, or they'll do it on their own.
And repetition is great, and repetition teaches, but you can actually enhance that repetition.
Yes.
You know, like I tell parents, another great way to teach your kids resiliency and to be flexible is take a song and change a line. Take a game like Go Fish and make up a new rule. When my grandkids live with me, we used to play Go Fish, but in our game, 3 and 9 matched. So if you got 3, it had a match of 9, not another 3. All the other cards match, but start doing different things. Then ask them, what can you do different? What if it's Old McDonald, you brought up Old McDonald at the farm. What else is an Old McDonald's at the farm? There's a chicken and a duck and a cow.
Yeah.
There's grass, there's trees, there's birds, there's rushes, there's
right. Or I would sing like Wheels on the Bus and have like the farm animals go on the bus on the, it gives the cows on the bus, go moo, moo, moo. Right. So you can do any kind of fun. And when you are attractive as a language and behavior model, when your kiddo sees you and hears you and watches you doing and saying what they love, just like your grandkids watched you be the teacher at the activity classes, right? When they watch you being your best self, you're the self that you want to be, then they want to be like you, and they want to be like you anyway. And they're going to be like you anyway. So if you do, fall into those mindset traps, either one of those physical, environmental, or emotional things come back in, because here's the thing, they never go away. They always come back. That's why it's called waves of communication. We have up and down progress, because as soon as you get everything going great, sure enough, something's going to happen in your life to trigger you. A new baby comes along, or you move, or your husband loses his job, or, the weather, there's a storm, or, something that happens that messes up your plan. And
down,
then you got to, yeah, then you got to make a new plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to be, flexible about it. You have to be, willing to go with the flow. Right. Because you are teaching your child how to react to that situation.
Whatever.
Now, when you teach a child, when things throw you off and you just figure out a new plan and you're like, let's do it this way. This will be a fun way. This will talk about it. Well, that didn't work out so well. So let's figure out this. What would you like to do? What would you like to do? Like brainstorm it. You are teaching your children to be resilient. You're teaching them flexibility. You're teaching them in life, sometimes things don't go your way, and sometimes you have to make a new plan.
Right.
It's a mistake happens. Have fun having mistakes, because mistakes is great opportunity. So let me kind of tie this up and ask you how parents can learn more about becoming their child's best language facilitator. And okay. I know we touched on so many different ways that they can. Is there one final tip you can really give a parent who's like, I wish I was just doing something right? I mean, if they can gain a lot of advice from this podcast, I'm not sure what they were listening to. But one more tip, like do this one more thing.
Yeah.
And it will really, other than contacting you, which they're going to do at the end.
Yeah, no. This is it. This, everybody can get their kiddo to listen to them better with this one tip. And it's so easy. That's why I think it's kind of magic sometimes. And that tip is, get ready, talk more slowly.
Yes.
That's it. Because I trust you, whatever you're saying. Obviously, when I talk about language facilitation, it's the right words, the right way at the right time. And, obviously we're not yelling at our kids. We're not whatever, but if you get in your kid's head and you start to talk about what you're doing, you're talking about whatever, but even if you need your kid to do something right now, you got to get your shoes because we got to go because we got to be at whatever. Instead of getting excited, talk more slowly and just give space, because when you slow down your speech, you slow down your energy, you can connect with your child a little bit better and start to see the why is my kiddo doing this behavior and why do I need him right now, and your speech changes. it gets a little bit more direct. It gets not, you don't even need, look in my eyes, look at my face, blah, 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 blah. You just, even if you're across the room, start talking more slowly. And your child will listen to you better in the moment. Plus, it buys you a little time to get your head straight so that you can work on your reaction and give them the language model you want to give them instead of saying something rational off the top of your head, oh my gosh, this happens kind of business. So just talk more slowly and you will get your kiddo to listen to you better. Just try it for a week. And you'll see a big difference. Because in my program, it happens, parents, this is a big wavy process. At the beginning, parents are all buy in and they talk real slow for the first week or so. And then they get out of the habit of it, or they haven't got it in good and they quit and they see their kids don't make as much progress. That's why that's the best strategy, slow talking.
I love it. I love it. And if you find your child is jumbling words, also, when you speak slower, they hear better. They hear the sounds. They hear what you're saying. You're being more specific. I always tell parents, stop giving them these general directions. You know, clean your room, clean this, bath table. Be more specific. More specific directions gets more specific responses, and speak slow. When you speak slow, you calm yourself down, like you said, and calm creates more calm.
Yep.
Instead of screaming and yelling at the top of your lungs and creating more screaming and yelling. Right. So absolutely wonderful. Well, gosh, Marcy, you like you and I, we could go on. We have been going on. We did your podcast with this. We could go on for 4 more hours. But tell everybody how they can find you, because I know there are a lot of people out there that wonder. I hear it all the time. So I know you get it all the time, and I hope they come to you, and I will absolutely refer you.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So the first place you can see my book, this is my book. It's called If It Isn't Fun, It Isn't Fun. Teach Your Child to Talk Faster Than Speech Therapy. You can get it on Amazon. It's also on Audible if you're a listener, if you like to do it that way. You can get it on Kindle. So the book is a good start, but you can find all the resources about the coaching programs on my website, wavesofcommunication.com. And I have more than 370 videos on YouTube. Every single video has specific strategies, like that slow talking one. I've done a whole video on 5 reasons slower talking gets faster speech. Everything, kind of like your book, you could go in there and search for a keyword and find a video of your kiddos doing echolalia, if you've got trouble with their speech production, if you're worried if it's autism or not, you can go in there and find, you know, what I say about it. If your kiddo has ear infections, whatever is going on that is your specific problem related to your child's late talking, you can go on my YouTube channel, go to the little search thing, type in that keyword that you like, and you'll find a video to help you.
I love that. I love that. And is your YouTube channel Waves of Understanding?
Waves of Communication. Waves of Communication. Okay. Yep. You can find it on YouTube.
And I'll have those links in the description for all you listeners. So please refer to it. And, you know, Marcy's amazing. And if you want your kids talking, instead of taking them somewhere that's going to like immediate label them, put them on drugs, God, who knows what may come of that. At least see if certain things, certain changes in your methods and what's going on in your family, see if those things can really help your child first. Because
yes,
that, a lot of times that's it, guys. That's
right. I did a video. There's 6 strategies you can try before autism diagnosis, 6 whole strategies that you can go through. You can find that on, if you go on my website or on the YouTube channel and just search for autism, you'll see all those ideas about the kids who are being labeled with autism. Some of them who do end up being on the spectrum, other ones who aren't, but these strategies work for everybody, no matter what diagnosis, even if it's genetic, even if it's prematurity, if it's head injury, because these gateways to spoken language are true for everyone. And those environmental and emotional ones, you can do something about.
I love it. Don't assume. And please just don't say your child obviously has some kind of disorder. Like, just don't believe that and assume that that's what it must be. Really research, watch that
video. Trust yourself, trust your kid.
Yeah. Yes, and know what's in your heart. You know, us moms, even dads, we know our children like no one knows our children. So please watch Marcy's video. I'm going to link to that video too. So, and I'm going to share it in the Pumped Up Parenting group because you guys need to watch that. Watch that and don't assume. Right. Know what they say about that.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Find out the truth and then you'll know what to do. And then you know what to do. Because if you just assume things, then you don't have a plan and you start doing things that just because somebody said or she did it or they told me or whatever. It doesn't matter. You can read all you want in the book, but you only do what you think is right for your child. Language facilitation helps you be flexible enough to find the way that works for you. It's not standard. You gotta, it's evidence-based. You gotta do it this way. It is evidence-based because there's lots of stuff that proves that when kids listen, they talk. Trust that evidence. Trust that. Trust yourself. Trust your connection with your child and you can get them talking. Parents are the best language facilitators.
Yes. And give your child a chance. Please, please give your child a chance. They're so worth it.
Yes.
All right. Well, Marcy, we are going to end. I'm so grateful that you were on with me. Listeners, I'm so grateful that you were there. Thank you very much, Marcy. I very much appreciate it. You're a pleasure and a joy. And I'm so grateful that our lives have intersected, whatever.
Yes, you know, me too.
Whatever.
Thank
I'm
you so,
so glad.
Much for having me on. And I hope these resources help your audience.
It has been a pleasure. And to all of you out there listening, thank you so much for being here. I wish you days filled with peace, love, and tons of laughter because it really is the best medicine. Keep laughing, have fun, and I'll see you here next time on the next episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Bye-bye, everybody.
Okay. So good.
Thank you for listening to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast and being a part of my mission to stop a million parents from yelling at their kids. Be sure to head over to pumpedupparenting.com and grab your free copy of the Patience Playbook. Wishing there was a manual for your toddler? Well, great news. Now there is. Pick up your copy of Raising Happy Toddlers, How to Build Great Parenting Skills and Stop Yelling at Your Kids, plus my three new children's books at celiasbooks.com. That's celiasbooks.com. If you're loving this podcast, please feel free to share it with your friends and pay it forward. And also leave a review so I know who you are and can thank you personally. Tune in next time for more tips, advice, and strategies as you continue to pump up your parenting and create childhoods that everyone in your family can blossom from. Have yourself a really happy, fun day. Bye-bye.